We are on a series that is titled, God Has Called You. So tell your neighbor, God has called you. And now tell him he's called you to great things. You don't sound like you're very convinced. We're supposed to encourage one another in the Lord. So tell him again, you're called to great things. Amen, amen. Because we serve a great God. So, of course, we're going to do great things. Is that right? All right. Well, this last week, Apostle Leonard wrote a message, and he gave it to me, and he said, you should teach this. And I said, I'd be glad to teach it. And I said, as a matter of fact, we're singing a song in worship today that goes right along with the message that you have written. So he's going to help me out this morning and share. And so I'll let you go ahead. We are, number one, we mentioned it already, we're called to worship. Is that right?
Yes.
We're called to worship the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Mm-hmm. And second of all, God has called us to salvation.
Yes.
And all so of some of the message that he's written this morning is about worship, and it is about salvation. And so I'm just going to ask him to go ahead and share, and then I'll jump in where where I need to.
Well, basically, I'm just going to do the very first scripture. So let's all read this out loud together in Revelation 7:9. It says, after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. From every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb, they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. Well, that's really good. And, you know, that's basically talking about every person that is singing is before the throne of God. Every one of you was born with the blood of Adam in you right now. So there's no, you know, no red or yellow, black or white, Jew or Greek or Gentile, no nation. We are all one in Christ, especially when we get saved. So that's a great oneness. And it says there that they were clothed in white robes. And that white robes is symbolic of purity and an emblem of innocent. Every one of you are innocent, aren't you, when you receive Jesus Christ? And then it says later on, with palm branches in their hands. You know what that means? That means it's a token of victory. Victory over the world. A victory over the devil. And all the flesh of every nation. And if you remember when Jesus was being crucified, you know, the week before, because it was like a seventh day of, you know, like the tabernacle, all the people were holding palm branches, weren't they, when he walked down the streets. And so, you know, we too, in Revelation 3:5, it talks about, you know, the book of the churches, it says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, that's you, you know, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Your name is written in the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels when they sing. So everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, they just said all your names before God. So the moment you worship and praise, your name is, you know, it says confessed before the Father. And so it's really important to worship and praise. You know, when we worship, you know, we enter into his gates. We all know that. We enter into his courts. We enter into the presence of God. Well, I'm going to read Isaiah 14:12, and I don't think that's up there. It says, this is talks about Lucifer. Everybody remember what Lucifer was at one time? What was he? Yes, he was the head of worship. He was the highest angel in the world at that time. But it says, oh, how thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How thou art cut down to the ground, to the weakest of all nations. So what is Satan now? He's the lowest. And it goes on, for thou hast said in my heart, I will ascend into heaven above the throne of God and before the stars of God. I will also mount up in the congregation and sit. What was he saying? I'm going to be bigger than God. I'm going to be better than God. I'm going to be my own God. I'm going to do my own thing. Well, guess what happened to him? He got kicked. But it says, even though you say you'll be, you know, ascended above into the high clouds and be like the Most High, thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. So what happened to Satan? He went from way up there to way down there into the pits of hell. So as we sing, remember, each one of us take that highest place to the throne of God. Because the Bible says we enter into his gates and with praise and worship and thanks. And so his name was changed from Lucifer to guess what his name was changed to? Satan, wasn't it? You know what Satan means? Adversary, define, separate, false accuser, and totally evil.
That's right.
So all we got to do is say Jesus and worship, and what do? What happens to Satan? He's under our feet. He's under our feet. We crush him. So that's what that was there, and this is everybody who worships. You know, this is you right now. So I'm going to have Janet go ahead and go into Revelation 7.
Revelation 7 says, "And after this I looked, and before me was a great multitude that no one could count."
We just read that.
Right, we just read that. "From every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne in front of the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands." And I believe that God desires the same thing on earth that goes on in heaven.
Yeah.
Many tongues, many tribes, many nations worshiping around the throne. And when we come together from different ethnic groups, from different backgrounds, and we agree that we love the Lord and we want to worship together as God's people, we actually demonstrate right here on the earth what God has already prophesied and declared is going on in the heavens.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I want to be a part of that.
Amen.
That's God's heart for River of Life, to come together from many backgrounds as one people, because we all are his children.
Yes.
Regardless of where we've come from. Then it goes on and says in Revelation 7:10.
Let's read that out loud.
Let's read it together. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Now, can we actually cry out with a loud voice? And let's try it again. "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." I actually think we'd do better if we stood up. So if you can stand up, let's stand up. Let's fill our diaphragm up with air and let's say it. I know your voices are louder than that. Yeah, I've hung out with y'all enough to know you've got loud voices. So here we go. "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Give the Lord a praise. All right, let's read the next verse with our loud voice, saying amen.
Amen.
Where is the next verse?
Verse 12. There it is.
All right, here we go. Say amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God. Forever and ever, amen! You may be seated. Thank you.
And we're going to sing it all later a couple of times. No, go ahead.
All right. Salvation belongs to our God. We are called to salvation. There is no other way for us to be saved from our sins except through Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask Apostle Leonard if he'll read the definition of salvation.
Well, it's also in your bulletins perfectly, and this is really exciting. Salvation means spiritual and eternal salvation, which is granted immediately by God. But it also means deliverance. So, you know, if you're an alcoholic, you're delivered. Deliverance from danger and suffering and sickness of physical or morally, to be preserved, rescued, healed, protect, restore, made whole and safe. Boy, that's everything, isn't it?
Amen.
That's what salvation means. It means healing. It means, you know, eternal life. I mean, read it a couple of times yourself. It's everything. I love it.
Amen. So salvation belongs to who?
God.
Our God. And when we belong to God,
we get it.
We get it. That's right. Sure. We've lived together long enough, you know, that we can complete each other's sentences. But as I was meditating on this, I thought, you know, sometimes we look for help and we look for our rescue and our deliverance from someplace else. Mm-hmm. But first and foremost, we have to remember it all belongs to God.
Right.
It's His. Now He'll use people to help us, but the first place we go is to God. Mm-hmm. The scripture tells us that if there's anyone sick among you, call the elders of the church. Is that right? The first thing we do is get a hold of the church, the people of God, to help us, to pray for us that we might be healed. So salvation, everything that encompasses, belongs to God. And I was reading a story about a guy that was in a boat, and he was in a boat, and it started to fill up with water, and the water got up to his knees, and a guy in another boat stopped by and said, "Hey, come on, get in my boat." And the guy said, "I'm a firm believer in God, and God will save me." So the guy says, "Okay." And he goes on away. And the guy stays in the boat. And the water got about up to his waist. And another boat pulled up next to him. And the driver said, "Come on, get in." And the man looked at him and he says, "No, I am a firm believer in God and God is going to save me." So he just drove away. And so then the water got up to his chin and this helicopter came, dropped a lifeline and said, "Grab a hold of the lifeline." And he yells, "I'm a firm believer in God and He is going to save me." And then the man drowned. Because the water overtook him. And when he got to heaven, he said to God, he said, "God, I made my declaration. I made my proclamation. I confessed your name and you did not save me." And God says, "Duh, I sent two boats and a helicopter."
Amen.
So salvation belongs to our God. He is the only one that can forgive us for our sins, right?
Amen.
He's the only one that can position us once again in that right place with Him. However, God sends people around us to help deliver us out of situations. Is that right?
Amen.
When we get into trouble, we need to be able to recognize, hey, God is sending this person to help me. Because God works through people. There's an old saying that says you can be so spiritually minded, you're no earthly good. And that's the situation I believe that man was in. Let's go on. How about God? He wrote out the definition.
All right, number two. Why don't we all read this out loud? Supreme magistrate, divinity, the might of the creator and sustainer of the universe. All sufficient. That means provider. Same thing.
Go ahead. And then the word throne.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's read that together too then. Throne.
Implicate full power,
position, rule, reign and full potential. That's a king. You guys are all kings, aren't you? We're kings and priests.
That's what the scripture says. Tell your neighbor, we're kings and priests. You see, that's our identity. We are kings and priests. And God sits upon his throne. Mm-hmm. And that is the seat of authority.
Authority, power.
Tell your neighbor, God will have the last word.
God will have the last word.
You know, have you ever met someone that just has to get the last word in? Oh, yeah.
No.
We've met those people, haven't we? The scripture tells us God has all authority, all power, all rule, and whatever he plans is what is going to come to pass. Amen?
Amen.
So he sits on his throne. I'm glad he's on his throne. Amen?
Amen.
I'm glad he is on the throne and that I'm his child. Are you? Are you? All right. And the next word that he looked up was lamb.
All right. Let's all read that together. It means perfect sacrifice, pure blood, cleanses all sin, fully forgiven. Remember in the Old Testament, they had to slay a lamb about every few months because they kept sinning. But now we have Jesus Christ forever and ever.
Amen. And his blood forever cries out
ever.
For mercy for us.
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
He's always crying out and praying for us. He sits next to his Father and he prays for you. That's what he's doing right now. He came upon the earth. He did many miracles, signs, and wonders. But he came as the sacrificial Lamb of God. And he gave his life for us. And now the scripture says he's seated at the right hand of God. And he keeps praying and praying and interceding for us.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you glad he's praying
yes.
for you?
Yes.
I'm glad to know God is praying for me. Jesus Christ is releasing prayers to his Father. And often I'll share with people, you know, I'll pray for something and then I'll wonder, did I pray right for that? Did I say the right words? Did I ask for the right thing? And one day the Lord told me, he said, don't worry about it, Janet. I'm sitting at the right hand of God. And if you don't get that prayer right, I will. So before it reaches the Father, Jesus adjusts it for us. And he prays the perfect will for our lives. Because
mm-hmm.
he can do that. Tell your neighbor, he can do that. He can do that. He has the last say, doesn't he? He has the last say. All right. And then Apostle Leonard looked up all of these words that is in the next verse of praise.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's read number one, praise. It's blessing,
fine speaking,
elegance of language, no condemnation, adoration, benediction, bounty, and full benefit. Ooh,
amen.
I'll take all that. Bounty, full benefit.
And then glory.
Yeah, and glory.
Let's right. read glory.
Okay. Very apparent dignity, glorious. Wide application to please and seem good, full reputation. Woo! Boy.
The scripture tells us in Habakkuk 2:14 that for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the scripture tells us that evil is going to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
Perilous times are going to come. But in the midst of all of that, God said that as the church, as Christians, our light is going to shine brighter and brighter.
Brighter and brighter.
That we are the salt of the earth. And the glory of God is going to cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. Think about that. God's glory is increasing. You see, we see this evil increasing, but the light gets brighter. Is that right? It gets brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. So our mindset needs to go to the glory of God is getting thicker. The glory of God is spreading over the earth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a sign when evil gets worse. That's a sign when perilous times mm-hmm. comes. That God is increasing his knowledge and he is increasing his glory. And he's going to use us mm-hmm. to be a demonstration yes. of the glory of God. Amen. And the presence of God. Mm-hmm. Because he wants us to be a witness for him. Amen. To praise him. And let the glory of God just shine through our lives. So can God, can people see God's glory in you? Mm-hmm. From day to day. It's every day. We don't get a day off. Tell your neighbor, you don't get a day off. God doesn't give us a day off. Oh, I guess I'm just not going to shine today. You know, it's like that little song, hiding your light under a bushel. Oh, no. I'm going to let it shine.
That was good.
Let it shine, let it shine. Yeah, you sang that in Sunday school, didn't you? All right, let's do the next one, wisdom.
Wisdom, let's all say that. High spiritual wisdom in natural and in spirit, wise, clear, and strength.
The scripture I thought of was James 3:17
yes.
that says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy.
Woo.
The wisdom of God mm-hmm. in natural and in the spirit. Mm-hmm. We need to hear the word of the Lord. And we've got to have this understanding of how God says that men and women and children are to be. Mm-hmm. Now, it's interesting. Elder Jim was sharing something with me this morning, and I think you could stand up and just share with the church about the study that you read about.
Wow, okay.
Tell your neighbor that's strange.
But.
So this is the wisdom of the world that Elder Jim was just sharing. Did anyone else hear that on the news today? Mm-mm. How crazy is that? It's very crazy. Because a man comes to his maturity when he is willing to provide for his family and he is willing to protect his family and lay down his life for his family like Jesus Christ laid down his life for the church. Do you see how the world tries to twist and pervert the truth of God? And so we pray for everyone that heard that. We know it's a lie, but there are people that would believe a lie. And so we pray for those that have heard that same news and anyone that's going to hear about this study, God, that you protect them. Lord, that there's something inside of them that goes, that's strange. That can't be right. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. We've got to be wise and have the wisdom that's from above. All right, let's read the next one. Thanks.
All right, let's read it out loud. Well-favored, grateful in language, good and well done. So every one of you, are really special. You're good and well done and you're favored, all that. So remember that, especially when you give thanks instead of our bracelets of murmuring, complaining. Sorry.
We enter his gates with thanksgiving.
Yes.
And that word in the Hebrew, it's mm-hmm. tovda, and it actually means to lift up your hands cupped upward. And so when we come into his gates with thanksgiving, we're thanking the Lord, we're lifting up this thanksgiving to him, and in return, we're expecting him to pour out a blessing on us. You know, it's just normal to lift your hands when you're praising the Lord. Some people think that's strange when they see people lift their hands. But it is a normal act to lift up your hands in praise to the Lord. That's Tovda. We give him thanks. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Honor.
Okay, let's read that together. Next. Value that is money paid, valuables by esteem, highest degree, precious, full price collection. Boy, that's everything that you need, isn't it? All your resources, everything. God gives you that honor. Whatever you want, God's going to bless you.
Mm-hmm. As we give honor to the Lord,
right,
the Lord honors us.
Honors us.
Woo. As we put him first in our lives, then he makes sure that we have what we need.
We're first.
He supplies all of our needs according to his riches in glory. God has more than enough. God has plenty to provide for each one of us.
Amen.
There's not, you know, many Americans have this scarcity mentality. Like there is not going to be enough. But when you're a child of God, you know that God is the God of more than enough. There's more than enough. We don't have to be afraid or concerned. God will supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. See, we can't even begin to wrap our minds around what that really means. We can just kind of imagine and think about that, but his riches in glory. He lives in a place where the streets are paved with gold. And each one of the gates of the city are a precious jewel, stone. Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, we just can't even imagine until we get there, right? Someday we'll be there. Mm-hmm. We all have loved ones that are there right now. Mm-hmm. And believe me, they don't want to come back to earth. They're not wanting to get out of heaven anytime soon. Oh, hallelujah. All right, let's go on. We're on power.
Ooh,
I
yes.
love this word.
Let's read this one. Dunamis force, miraculous power, miracles, ability, abundance, full might, power, strength, mighty, wonderful work. So we have the power. That word dunamis means dynamite. We have full power over the enemy, don't we?
Amen.
Full power.
Amen.
And we can go and go. But
yeah, power. We see God's power is demonstrated through his word.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When he spoke the word of God, the worlds were framed.
Right. Yeah.
Think about that. The word of God has power.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been studying about how our words have power. Isaiah 55:11 says, this is God saying, my word goes out from my mouth and it will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And that's why it's important that our words line up with God's word. That our words line up with what God has spoken over our lives. Mm-hmm. God didn't speak failure over any of you. He didn't speak that you would barely make it. Mm-hmm. You know, God has spoken life over you. He gives you hope and he gives you a purpose. For us to succeed, we've got to know our purpose. What are we striving for here? Mm-hmm. What has God assigned for us to do? We're all called to salvation. We're all called to worship. Mm-hmm. But God has called each one of us to be a functioning part of the body of Christ. He is talking to us about standing up for what we know is truth and what we know is right. We were praying this morning. We pray at 10 o'clock right down here in front of this cross. Mm-hmm. We were praying this morning, and we were praying for the Christians who are in the state of California to rise up and begin to push back the powers of darkness. You see, they're trying to take over and pass a law which would inhibit the Bible from even being sold. What? Yeah. And there's more than that going on in California. Because of the morality that is taught in the Bible, you see, they want to do away with that so that they can live however they want to live without feeling guilty. They'd still feel guilty because whether they took that out of the word or not, it's still the word. You see, God's word will never change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But Satan, the devil, the scripture tells us he will try to change the times and the seasons and the laws. And that's what he's doing. He's actually has his grasp on these people, and he's twisted their minds so much that they're trying to pass this bill. And so pray for them as you go through the week. But also, Father, we lift them up to you, the Christians that are in California. Strengthen them today. Pour in that dunamis power, Lord. Let the power, the wonder-working power of God flow through them, Lord, and give them strategy how to combat this and to come against this. And we decree and declare that this bill will fall flat. That it'll fall flat. All right, let's just put it under our feet. Yeah, just put it under your feet. Where is Satan?
Under
our feet. And who created that bill?
Satan.
So where do we put him?
Under our feet.
It falls flat. So when you pray, you decree and declare that bill falls flat. It falls flat. It's dead in the name of Jesus. Defeated.
Amen.
All right, the next word is strength.
Let's read this together. Full force, ability, mighty power, can do, and full possession to hold.
Wow.
Man.
That's a lot of strength, isn't it?
Yeah.
Full force.
You can
take full force.
It's all yours. You can hold it.
You can hold it.
What?
And number 8.
All right, this one's forever and forever. Never ending, eternal, always lasting, full length, sevenfold, implying its total completeness.
So, and I'm going to ask Praise Team if you'll get ready to come because we're getting ready to wrap up. Do you want to expound on that?
Go ahead, yeah. Well, this is for never ending, and this is forever and ever. But then the first 7 was the praise and the glory, wisdom and thanks. That means complete and totality. And so I would encourage each one of you, while the praise team is coming up, try to get these scriptures. This is the Hebrew and the Greek. Try to get what each one of them means and get them memorized. Because every day when I drive my truck, I sing this thing. And I'm very successful in everything that I do. Almost everything I need to get done gets done and completed because I just sing that song and I have power over the enemy, protection, everything. So.